Middle East and Africa. South Africa. A new era. A national unity government can save democracy and the economy.
Desmond Tutu once wrote that we in South Africa sell ourselves short. In a country with many problems, it is easy to forget its remarkable achievements, argued the late Nobel Peace Laureate. He felt that the world had much to learn from the largely peaceful transition to democracy in 1994. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission he chaired, that shed light on the darkness of apartheid and the forgiveness of ordinary black people scarred by decades of white rule. If Archbishop Tutu were still alive, he might have added the events of June 14th to his list of feats. Members of Parliament re-elected Cyril Ramaphosa as South Africa's president at the head of a government of national unity. The coalition, anchored by Mr. Ramaphosa's African National Congress, ANC, and the erstwhile official opposition, the Democratic Alliance, DA, was necessitated by the results of elections held on May 29th. The ANC won just 40.2% of the vote, depriving it of its parliamentary majority for the first time. To gain the support of most MPs, Mr. Ramaphosa could have joined with dangerous populist parties. Instead, he and his new partners have swiftly opted for a government that adheres to the values of the 1994 settlement and has a chance of overseeing vital reforms. Its formation reflects well on the Rainbow Nation's fledgling democracy. The outcome was not inevitable. In the aftermath of the result, many figures in the ANC were against a deal involving the DA, which won 21.8% of the vote. Gwede Mantashe, the powerful party chair, reportedly preferred a tie-up with a few smaller parties and the Devil We Know, the Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, a race-baiting hard-left party run by former leaders of the ANC's Youth League, which won 9.5%. Others wanted to work with Umkhonto Wesizwe, MK, a new party led by the former president, Jacob Zuma, which won a stunning 14.6%. In characteristic style, Mr. Ramaphosa trod carefully. On June 6th, after a meeting of the ANC's main decision-making body, he announced that the party had chosen to form a government of national unity and would talk to every major party about potentially joining. At first, this seemed a ludicrous case of Mr. Ramaphosa trying to have his cake and eat it. Negotiators from other parties joked that the president was leaving it to his opponents to decide on the coalition on his behalf. If that was the case, it worked. Both MK and EFF made such unreasonable demands that, in effect, they ruled themselves out. The EFF wanted the finance ministry and insisted it would not be part of the same government as the DA, which its deputy leader suggested was a puppet of the white capitalist establishment. MK, which has been spouting Trumpian lies about the election being rigged, demanded Mr. Ramaphosa's resignation, a stipulation the ANC quickly ruled out. Mr. Ramaphosa was probably relieved by the hubris. He could tell his caucus he had at least tried to talk to the populists. But while he never publicly stated his preferences, they were strongly implied. After the ANC meeting, he spoke of coalition partners needing to respect the constitution, ruling out at least MK, which wants to ditch the colonial document, and non-racialism, excluding at least the EFF, whose leader has spewed vitriol against whites and Indians. In a newsletter sent on June 10th, he wrote of the importance of Operation Vulindlela, a presidential initiative to accelerate market-friendly reforms. It was an unsubtle nod. By this point, DA negotiators had already highlighted the same scheme as a priority. To its credit, the DA was conscious of the time constraints. The vote for president took place just 12 days after the election results were formally announced, a 54th of the time it took Belgium to form a government in 2018-20, and the gravity of the moment. Rather than get bogged down in policy detail or demand specific cabinet jobs, the DA focused on ensuring it would not be railroaded by the ANC. A coalition agreement hammered out just before this crucial vote stipulates that government decisions need the support of parties with 60% of seats in Parliament. In effect, this gives the ANC and DA a veto. Another clause ensures that Mr. Ramaphosa will have to assign seats in his cabinet roughly in accordance with the vote shares of the coalition partners. The third key partner is the Inkatha Freedom Party, IFP, a Zulu nationalist party, but one that believes in democracy and the constitution, unlike MK. The involvement of the party, which won just 3.9% of the national vote, in the coalition is an important nod to the interests of Zulus, the country's largest ethnic group. Velenkosini Fiki Hlabisa, the IFP's leader, may get a prominent cabinet job. On June 12th, he spoke of how the coalition could also heal wounds between his party and the ANC. The two fought an undeclared civil war in the early 1990s that killed thousands. For the ANC, the presence of the IFP and a few tiny parties in the government is crucial, as it makes the coalition look less like just a tie-up between it and the DA, which some of its base see as a white party. The ANC, IFP and DA have also agreed to work together in the two largest provinces, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, after no party gained a majority in regional elections. In KwaZulu-Natal, where MK won 45.4% of the vote, the coalition will have a wafer-thin majority. Parties other than MK and EFF have 41 of the 80 seats. There is much that could go wrong. There will be tensions within the administration. Moderates in the ANC share many of the same goals as liberals in the DA, but they come from different political cultures. The former sees itself as a movement, the latter more like a Western political party, and they will not see eye to eye on issues such as race-based policies. There is also the risk that the sheer dysfunction of the state will make it hard for even well-meaning ministers to get results. Then there are the challenges from outside the government. MK and EFF will argue that, like 1994, this is a shady deal cooked up by black and white elites who are the puppets of big business. Julius Malema, the EFF's leader, said he would work with MK to oppose the new government. He called the DA Zionists and the enemy. Mr. Zuma is showing himself to be a Zulu Robert Mugabe, implying that his backers will turn violent unless satisfied with the election. In KwaZulu-Natal, the epicentre of mass unrest in 2021, encouraged by Mr. Zuma's henchmen, the police must be vigilant. Even if things are peaceful, Mr. Zuma will want to destabilise the fragile coalition that will run the province. Mr. Ramaphosa will have the hard task of keeping the support of the ANC. Some in the party blame him for its disappointing election result. Without a majority, he has fewer cabinet jobs with which to buy loyalty. If his government's policies threaten the interests of important constituencies, such as civil servants and trade unions, he will come under pressure. Since he is expected to step down as party leader at the next major ANC conference, probably in 2027, senior figures will be biding their time before trying to nudge him out of the presidency too. The DA will have to square its participation with its base. At present, it can make a convincing case that keeping EFF and MK out of power is worth it. But as time passes, that threat will fade. If the DA does badly in its stronghold of Cape Town in local elections due in 2026, the party might have second thoughts. Yet all these potential pitfalls are for the future. Whatever happens next, the incoming government has already achieved something profound. It has kept Mr. Zuma and the EFF away from power. This coalition may not be imbued with the optimism and idealism of the one Nelson Mandela ran with his former enemies from 1994 to 1997, but it is also impressive proof that there is a pragmatic and principled centre in South African politics. 30 years after the end of apartheid in 1994, the Rainbow Nation has shown it still has lessons for the rest of the world in how to handle a multi-ethnic democracy.